Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com. RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Last year, Creed asked me how to set up a blog, wanting to protect the world from being exposed to Creed's brain. I opened up a Word document on his computer and put an address at the top. I've read some of it. Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Steven Souza with the Tampa Bay Rays. You're listening right here with the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back. So happy that you're here to join me on this weekly journey. So, you know how I did a thing. I talked about how everything's a scam. Now, obviously, everything's not a scam, clearly. But I think I found a thing that definitely is a scam. And it's just literally buying a pet rock. Type of scenario. The little terrarium things, do-it-yourself terrariums where it comes with the seeds and everything you need to make a terrarium, those don't exist. Those aren't real. Those are just, they're selling you dirt and rocks and stuff, and they don't actually grow. The seeds don't grow. I've bought many of these things throughout my life. I bought one a few weeks ago, impulse buy, was in Target during Christmas time, and I just saw this thing. I'd be like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. You know, it's a 12-year-old you kind of comes out for a little while. Build my own terrarium. It'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, I'll do that. It was like $10. And I was skeptical, of course, of this. And just because I know that I'm throwing my money. It's like when you buy a lottery ticket. Yeah, I bought a scratch-off the other day, too. I just threw this dollar away for 100%. And then you expect to be surprised. But no, I just threw my dollar away. I should have just given it to a homeless person or something. They could have bought a beer with it. But it was the same thing with this terrarium. I felt the need. I went with some friends, and it was during, like I said, during Christmas time. And I thought I should buy something. So I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool. Buy myself a little gift to build my own terrarium. And I did. Followed the directions precisely. Okay? I made sure of this. I read them 3 times. Went over it step by step. I put the shells in. Okay? I put the coconut shell in. I took the seeds. I put it in a pouch with the carbon, and I shook it up gently, and then I dumped it on top of the coconut shreds, and then I put water on it. I found a windowsill with a good amount of sunlight, and it said the seeds will sprout in 7 to 21 days, and then you can lay the moss down. I've had this stupid moss, green moss, sitting. I live in a very small apartment, okay? I have it sitting on my kitchen little nook thing, waiting for this thing to freaking bloom, so I put the dang moss in there. It's been almost a month now. No sprouts. No sprouts whatsoever. Yes, I know what you're going to ask me. Yes, I have been making sure I'm noticing how wet the coconut shred where it grows, because you got to keep that moist. Yeah, I did that, okay? It doesn't work. It is a total, complete scam. Those build-your-own terrarium things where you grow things, total scam. 813-693-2124. And I'm finally at the point now where complaining gets you things, you know? And I used to feel bad, like, oh, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to send an email to this company and say, I'm on you. I know your game. I want my money back. And they'll probably give me my money back because it didn't work. It's one of those things, you promised me I could build my own terrarium. I followed your instructions. Nothing happened. So am I entitled to my money back? I know I'm prematurely an old man. I get that. But it really does work. You can complain to companies now and they will totally just to get you out of their hair, okay? Because nobody does it. Nobody complains. So they prepare for some people who do complain and then they let them have their way. You ever complained to a company and got your money back? 813-693-2124. That is the voice and text line. You can leave a voicemail or a text message over there, and I will receive it. I got a few voicemails I'm going to play a little later in the show. But first, I want to talk about a thing that made national news. Everybody was freaking talking about it. Trump served the Clemson Tigers McDonald's and like Burger King and stuff, and everybody was freaking out about that. And it, depending on how you sit politically, it kind of depended on how you felt about it. Some people were saying, but you know what? The thing to me that stuck out was it really showed kind of the class issue. I think a lot of these things, we think things are race related or where you sit politically. I have a feeling it's just where you sit, where you are in the class system here. You know, if you're poor, you probably feel one way. And if you're, you know, live on the coast, you might feel differently about it. My friends are kind of elitist, and they were saying how trashy, you know, it was, and it's despicable. But I'm sorry, objectively, McDonald's is delicious. And do you think college kids want to eat lobster bisque and steaks? I'm sure they, you know, it's free food, they'll eat whatever, but I'm sure they appreciated, you know, a feast like that too. And it wasn't just like they got a, you know, some burgers and fries. It was a feast, man. He had 300 hamburgers, as Trump said, as he tweeted. I had a really funny typo. But it's funny too, how the media will just, he's under such a microscope, man. It's just funny to watch from I don't know, an outside perspective. I don't really like him or dislike him. So I just see things like these Washington Post people, I saw them there. They were fact checking his what he said about it. And he said that he had 300 hamburgers and they were stacked a mile high. And some Washington Post journalist fact checked that statement and said false at 2 inches a piece, 300 of them, that would not be a mile high. And no duh. Obviously, it's called hyperbole. He's making a dramatic statement using fantastical words. But nah, he's under such a microscope. It's hilarious. But yeah, it's funny, man, because everybody was talking about you know, how trashy it was on one end. But I think a lot of people don't understand that would be a feast to, like, a, you know, some people working class folks in the middle of the country. That's how they treat themselves, you know. There's not much around there, and they go out to McDonald's and get themselves a cheeseburger, you know, and some French fries and a Coke and a milkshake or something every once in a while just to keep life interesting. They can't afford to go out to, you know, these places, take vacations. So that is their kind of relief from life. So it's just funny to see the class differential with that whole thing, and kind of you just tell how people feel based on that pretty much. But it's why one of my friends said, we're not talking about it enough how terrible that was that they did that to those young men. And I saw the Times put out some article talking about how athletes don't eat like that. Athletes don't get paid, and they probably should. So they eat whatever they possibly can get their hands on. You know, a lot of times that's probably just garbage. So I know the school feeds them and stuff every once in a while, I guess, but I don't know. They said they have their own, you know, cooks and stuff that cook for the teams, but I don't know if that's really true. I've heard Booger McFarland, former Buccaneer, now he's on Monday Night Football, talk about he used to struggle to try to find food. He's a massive, massive man, and he's got to keep that weight on to play ball, and then they kind of leave it on him to figure out how he's going to eat. You know, and that was 15, 20 years ago, I guess now. Maybe it got better. But I have a feeling it wasn't as big of a deal to these kids as some of these people made it out to be. And it's just, man, it was just the perfect, the picture of the president with his hands out. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a great photo. I actually want like a poster of it because it's so good. And it's just got all these Big Macs and quarter pounders with cheese. That's just going to be his presidential portrait. Somebody should paint that and make that his presidential portrait because that is perfect. That perfectly sums up this administration. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. And we actually have some voicemails this week. We had a guy that called. He wanted to talk about the anti-vax thing. I played a few weeks ago. One of the guys I work with, Ryan, is not an anti-vaxxer. He's not really a pro-vaxxer either. And this guy left a voicemail. I don't know if it was... I don't know if he just had a kind of a bad connection or he was trying to freak me out. But let's play this from this guy who called in.
Hey, Will, I've never called before, but I just had to comment on whoever your stay woke co-host was. The anti-vax guy. Seems kind of odd that he's medicating his child for social anxiety, but then pisses and moans about a flu shot. Welcome to America. Maybe you should get a cat. Something that'll just lay around the house all the time. Anyway, this one's worth it.
Yeah, I agree, I think, with you, sir. Thank you very much for the call. It was a little, we had kind of a bad connection there, but I really do appreciate you calling in, telling me about that. And then we got a guy named Mike. Now, I asked for your funniest thing that's ever happened to you stories. I love these stories. I'm going to make some sort of podcast just based on these one day where I'm going to link them all together. Everybody has their stories. So I definitely still want them. 813-693-2124. And Mike from St. Pete called in to tell me the funniest thing that's ever happened to him.
Hey, this is Mike in St. Pete. I heard a bunch of the stories, the funniest thing that ever happened to you. This is the funniest thing this is the hardest I've ever laughed. I don't know if this is the funniest thing that ever happened to me, but this is the hardest I ever laughed. I was working this warehouse job, and it's really big, and there's a bunch of aisles, and I'm operating this machine that pulls these carts, and you pull stuff, put them on the carts. And my boss comes over, and he's got these papers, and he's like, hey, I got to go over these safety things with you real quick. So obviously you can tell he's, like, went through this a million times with other people, and he's kind of, like, reading the list, and he's, like, shuffling his feet, and he's kind of, like, rocking back and forth. Well, he was standing next to this pallet, and he ended up, while he was looking at the paper, he ended up losing his balance on the pallet. And then, I swear, it must have been for 12 feet, he fell backwards, and he kept trying to right his body up straight. So it's like he was, like, waist high, like running, but he was, like, trying not to fall. And, it was, like, for 12 feet. And then, so then he finally falls. And I have this, like, thing in my mind where do I, like, laugh so hard right now, or do I somehow muster the strength not to laugh in my boss's face? Because obviously this was, like, totally emasculating for him. So that there was that angle that was so extremely hilarious. So I somehow got the power to be like, hey, man, like, I took the route of, hey, you all right, man? You all right? And he's like, yeah. And he was, like, kind of, like, half pissed off, but he was like, yeah, I'm all right. And he left. I don't even think he finished the thing. And so then, like, when he left, I had to go park the machine in the back of the warehouse. And, like, I swear I was, like, crying. I was laughing so hard because everything was hitting me at once. the fact that my boss just did that, the irony of the safety thing that he was reading to me, and that he falls on a pallet, like not paying attention, like everything was hitting me at once, and I had to like just go like park and laugh for about 10 minutes. And it was like really one of the hardest I've ever laughed. It hurt. And I didn't want anybody to see me either, because it almost looked like I was crying. It was like, you know. So anyway, that was the hardest I ever laughed, the funniest thing I think ever happened to me. Love the show, man. See ya.
All right, thanks, Mike. That's my favorite one so far. Excellent story, excellent pace. You covered all the bases there, Mike. Thank you very much. That's a pretty good one. Yeah. Now, I think you would probably laugh harder if you didn't like the boss, but I mean, that's just a funny thing to happen. And he didn't get hurt. You know, his ego was definitely bruised, I'm sure. Now, if he would have fell on a, you know, I don't know, nails or something, what's on a construction site where he got hurt, maybe it wouldn't have been as funny. That's hilarious, though. Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, too. What do you do in that situation? I guess it's whatever your relationship is with your boss. My boss is at the day job. I would laugh right in their dumb faces, and they would laugh along with me. I'm so glad I have that worked. I would imagine on a job site, everybody, like, don't you bust balls all day anyways, I would imagine, you know, making fun of each other. So, I don't know. Great call, though, Mike. Thanks. And please keep sending me your funniest thing that's ever happened to you stories. I love these. 813-693-2124.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you locally by TruvySalonAndSpa.com. Yes, TruvySalonAndSpa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in good old St. Petersburg. Chrissy is doing it up, man, making you beautiful. She does men's haircuts, ladies' haircuts, doesn't matter. She'll cut any hair, maybe not any hair, but definitely the ones that are exposed on the top of your head, she could take care of for you. I was talking to my barber recently, and he was telling me some guy asked him to shave his back. And I was thinking, wow, what do you do in that scenario? Because if he, you know, what's the big deal? It's just somebody's back, but it is gross, right? I would imagine the consistency of back hair is similar. I don't have back hair, thank God. But I would imagine it's similar to, pubes? I don't know. So maybe it'd be like, where would you draw the line? Do you do the back? If somebody paid you enough, do you go down, you know, downstairs? And if somebody pays you enough, you don't have to, you know, you can wear gloves and you just kind of, you know, you're not styling it. You're just, you know, shaving it. And then you go all the way back to the back door. Do you do that too? I don't know. We never really did figure it out. But Chrissy could cut your hair good. Just know, I'm sure she's not doing any. She's doing too well to worry about having to shave somebody's back. I'm sure she'll send them to somebody else. But anything that's on your head, she can take care of. Make your appointment today. Truvy is spelled T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Botox lady shows up once a month and will shoot poison in your face to smooth it out. So if you want to do that, that's cool. You should. And of course, homemadepodcasts.com. That is a media consulting company. If you're interested in starting a podcast or need some assistance with hardware, RSS feeds, anything like that, I'm your guy. That's right. It's my company, homemadepodcasts.com. I can tell you how to get started. If you're a business that wants to create some sort of audio content for your website, well, we can do that too. You know why? Because I'm talking to you through that medium right now. I know what I'm doing, and I want to help you. So give me a call. Leave a message at 813-693-2124, or visit the webpage homemadepodcasts.com. Don't forget the S, and let's work together. Or if you're a local business owner that wants to advertise on this program, but I want to work with you. I want to work with members of our community, and what a better way to promote your business than on a growing platform like podcasts. So get at me at hmbradio.com or just call the show, 813-693-2124. Let's link up. Let's work together. And Thanks. If you want some Homemade Broadcast stickers, I still have a bunch of stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Visit hmbradio.com, hotelmikebravoradio.com. Just send me your address, mailing address. I'll put some in the mail. I also got some magnets made today, so that should be pretty cool. If you want one of those, I'll send you one of those, too. How about that? Pretty cool. And I'll take care of the shipping and everything for free. So make sure you get on that, hmbradio.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSaintPete.com.
Earlier this week on Stay Woke is a radio program I co-host with Anna Hummel on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. And this week we talked a little bit about dating and fantasies and fetishes and some little bit of Gasparilla talk. And what else? Just, you know, dating stuff all around. You can catch Stay Woke at midnights on weeknights on 102.5 The Bone FM, or you can get the app, 102.5 The Bone in the Google Play or Apple iTunes store. Download it. You can get the show on demand, plus all the other great Bone shows that are out there. Mike Calta Show, Roger and JP, Drew Garabo Live, Soul Brother Kevin, The Johnny B Show, and us, Stay Woke. On demand at your fingertips whenever you want them. I encourage you to do that. But let's hear a little bit from Stay Woke.
They were talking about crazy kinks, and Rogan said there was a girl that he was with that wanted him to rape her. Rape her. And he was really young, and he was just like, and it was funny, like when he was talking about what was going through his mind. Obviously, he didn't want to do that because it made him feel bad, but he's like, God forbid I do it and I love it. Like,
oh,
you know,
right.
What I mean? Like,
sure.
What if I'm into that? And then I can only be with, like, maybe that's another level of sexuality that he reaches and pleasure and euphoria. And he doesn't even want to know that he likes that sort of stuff.
That's a great point. And I didn't even think about it. Like, I was telling Johnny about the steaks that I had the other day, the sous vide steaks. I were finished on the grill. They were dry aged and everything. I can't go back to regular steaks now. And it could be a whole new level. And then you'll never enjoy just regular, you know, but ever again.
Yeah, and how many girls are going to be into not just like a, you know, like aggressive sex, but full-on rape? Like, this girl was crazy he was talking about.
I've heard a lot of women express that desire.
Right.
Now, obviously, it's not, it's a fantasy, and they're with a partner that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It's not just some stranger on the street, but it's still the act of, I guess, resisting and being completely dominated, I guess.
Completely dominated, and also I hate, like, breaking down the rape fantasy, but I've read quite a bit about it. Mm-hmm. But women are often turned on knowing that they are irresistible to men, that they're so desirable that
must
a man cannot control
themselves
around them, sort of a thing. And that's what I think is linked to the rape fantasy.
So it's narcissism, then.
I wouldn't say it's narcissism. I just think that women want to feel desired by men sexually.
If that you are so desirable that men couldn't help themselves but to assault you, that's not narcissism?
To assault you. But is it considered assault if you're consenting to it? You know what I mean? It's part of your fantasy?
No, it wouldn't be. I would think that even if you agreed to it.
Like a planned rape is not really a rape. It's a fantasy of rape. I understand.
What if you change your mind halfway through? What if there's a situation?
You better have
like
a safe word, baby.
Yeah, you would have
better
to have a safe word.
Pull out that 100%. Pineapple eggplant or whatever you say.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. I'd be too afraid.
Yeah,
no.
Rogan said he wouldn't do it because a multitude of reasons. One of which, like I mentioned, was that he was like, "What if I like it?"
Yeah,
it's freaky
or
stuff.
Or she changes her mind. Oh God,
yeah.
No, too
or
many
she
variables.
Changes the story. I mean, in this day and age, you wouldn't even want to try. But if she changes the story and then they do a rape kit and it turns out she was, you know what I mean, like she was raped, but it was a fantasy.
Yeah,
you know?
She's got, you know, I would imagine to be a little rough, and then she's got bruises on
her. Yeah, it's not a good
stuff.
Look. No,
oh my God, no, forget it.
And Louis C.K. has a great bit on that too. not yeah. about the necessarily the rape, but it was like, you know, this girl's being coy and he's hooking up with this girl and she's like, no. Uh-huh. And he's like, okay, sorry. And then the next night he goes to the girl and he goes like, why didn't you do anything? He's like, because you told me
no.
She's like, oh, no, I wanted you to. He's like, I'm not going to just rape you in the off chance that you're yeah. into that sort of thing.
That's a great point, though, and that's something that guys have to deal with, you know, on a regular basis, that girls say no because they don't. I think they want to protect their chastity, obviously, but they, you know, kind of want it. That's why I always said that no doesn't really mean no.
Oh,
three
okay.
no's means no. And it goes, no, 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 stop. And then no. And that's when you go, oh, okay.
Right,
that's
right.
No.
It's the trying to play coy because you don't want to come across too easy. So you want the guy to try again. And then it's kind of
yes.
like,
it's
I don't
want to
say you wear them down sort of a thing, but they want you to be interested. They want you to
yeah.
keep trying, but
definitely.
If you're kind of like, listen, not right now, or definitely no, or the no, full stop, you
oh,
know.
And you can tell the difference
right,
between
right.
stop, don't, and no.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
definitely a difference.
And no. So I am starting to put my Gasparilla plans together. Do you do the Gasparilla?
I've done Gasparilla 2 times in 34 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not your thing.
I'm not
it's amateur hour.
I'm not
big time.
I had a really fun time the first time that I went, but I had a friend who had a house right on Bayshore.
Right.
So you had a home base that you could kind of go to, get out of the heat,
yeah.
you know, get some water, you know, and not just be a pleb, you know, on the parade route, just chugging beers in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a really great time then. Second time I was a pleb on the street, and I didn't have as good of a time.
No, not so fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really fortunate because one of my best friends here has a house, and she's right on Bayshore.
Oh, nice.
So I'll be going to her place. Like last year, we did the same thing where, well, now it'll just be me. But anywho, I'll be Ubering to her house like after the show on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and so I can stay there, so I don't have to Uber there during, you know, because people get started. I remember people were knocking on her door. I want to say like 8 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
That's when people
That's disgusting.
Start. It's an all-day thing.
I get it, but like to wake up early to drink, even in my craziest days. When I was in college, I would say, even then, I never did like a 9 before 9 or anything like that. It never appealed to me. Maybe day drinking later in the day, but to wake up early and get hammered, I'm just going to fall back asleep. Terrible idea.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I mean, I could do it back then. I had no problems. I remember having a cup stacked, like 12 of them,
no.
and it was 11 a.m.
No.
I had 12 beers by mm-hmm. 11 a.m.
Absolutely.
But
not.
I was fine. I could, you know, do it all day. Now I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah. Last year was interesting because we were hanging out with, you met Jaden, right? I don't want to call her a porn star.
The adult film actress.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, she did porn. I guess so. I'm thinking she didn't just do webcam stuff. She did stuff with other dudes.
Yeah.
We hung out with her and her husband, and she does porn, and her husband films it. And she'll be with multiple guys. Dude, I know. The look that you just gave me, I completely understand. We probably talked to them for like 4 hours. And I remember leaving, and I'm like, they're bat-ass crazy. I don't understand any of what they are talking about. They are just so out there on another level.
Mm.
And then I think in the early days of Stay Woke, we had their friends come in, like Cookie Monster or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it? Cookie and Rookie and...
Cookie
and... Magic.
Magic.
Yeah. Cookie
yeah.
and
who
Magic.
Who was who? Was Cookie the chick?
Cookie was the chick.
She was pretty hot.
She was a babe, and he was like... He's one of those guys that, like, I get the vibe where, and hopefully they're not listening, but I get the vibe that he, like, he tries to pretend like he's super secure, but he's very insecure. Like, that was the vibe that I was getting from them. Hopefully they're not listening. But
he seemed like he was cool with it. I don't know how people can get down on that, though. I'm too jealous.
Oh, absolutely. And I've also been listening to a lot of, I don't know why this interests me as of late, but I listen to a lot of the... stuff people talk about, polyamory. Do you know what that is?
Yeah,
it's like multiple love, multiple partners. But it's not just like swinging. It's like you're not only you're sexually involved with other people, but you're emotionally involved with other people.
That's even weirder. Like I can understand just the basic, you know, sex part of that relationship, but being emotionally connected
to multiple people,
weird, man, that's even weirder.
I know. And the thing that I find to be somewhat obnoxious, but like I also kind of understand, is that these people think that they're more evolved than the rest of us. They like they've transcended jealousy. Like that's not about
right.
You know.
Right.
They'll say things like, humans aren't naturally monogamous. Now, here's the thing, and I've done quite a bit of studying about human nature and human mating strategies. Human beings, say like in hunter-gatherer days or when we were evolving during hominid evolution, typically what you see is they are slightly polygynous, which means it's typically one dude with a couple chicks. Mm-hmm. That's usually what it is. Now, that means that, you know, I'm sure there are people that are straying here and there and stuff like that, but for the most part, humans were naturally slightly polygynous. So, and I feel like, and that could mean one girl with one guy, and then maybe he gets another girl, maybe he lets that one go, and another one comes in, and, you know, we're not monogamous for life, typically, but these days, people are, I would say, serial monogamous, right? So, you'll be with multiple people in your life, but it's usually one at a time.
One at a time.
It's not one for life. It's one until the next one.
That's not true that humans are not monogamous. They are monogamous. It's one partner at a time, maybe multiple partners over a period of time.
Again, in the environment in which we evolved, I think humans were naturally polygynous. That's what most, I would say, not humanologists, but not primatologists, whatever, people who study humans, anthropologists, would say. Now, that doesn't, but I feel like a lot of times they try to crap on people who are monogamous, like they're jealous types. They're not feeding into their natural human nature. I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't think that people can transcend jealousy. And they often use arguments like, well, you have more than one friend, don't you? You only have one friend. But it's different when it comes to sex.
Totally. That's apples and oranges. That's not the same thing.
Not the same thing
at
all.
You don't, you know, give your friend an HJ. You know, this wouldn't be something you would do.
And it's also a possession territorial thing. And also you compare yourself, right? You can't be with multiple people, I feel like, without thinking about, obviously you're jealous, but then you start to compare yourself. Why am I not enough for you? Why do you have to look elsewhere? All these things come into play. And although it may be fun if you just think about yourself being with multiple people at one time or multiple times or whatever, but when you think about your partner doing that same thing, it becomes very distressing. And a lot of people think it's the distress is greater than the enjoyment and the pleasure that you get out of having multiple partners. So they say, you know what? Scratch the whole idea. I'd rather just be with you and not have you running around, you know, I almost said the F word, you know, banging a lot of people.
I mean, when you get with somebody, I don't know about you, but I'm like excited about that person. I wouldn't want to be with anybody else except that person.
I can only do one at a time.
One at a time.
I don't even think I can go on multiple dates with multiple men at a time, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like for example, with, and it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm attached to you. It's like if I start dating you, date number one with one guy, mm-hmm. I go until I'm not talking to him anymore. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I can't go on a date with Tim on Tuesday and Kyle on a Wednesday,
really?
And Frank on Thursday. No, no, no. I can't do it.
Common. I thought that was common.
No, totally common. I'm just saying
you
for
just,
myself.
You can't do it.
Like, if I'm talking to Frank, I talk to Frank until Frank stops answering my calls or whatever. I find out he, you know, likes boys or whatever the issue is that ends with Frank. And then I go on to Kyle or whoever it may be. Like, I cannot date multiple people at a time.
Well, I wonder if that is a common thing now. That's been kind of the stereotype about, you know, dating. But maybe that just comes from, you know, sitcoms and stuff. Because I couldn't – it's hard to find – like, I might have maybe one or two times a week, maybe, mm-hmm. that I could sneak out.
Sure.
But there's that stereotype of a girl, like, going out with a different guy every night. And she's kind of like,
what stereotype,
you know, testing the waters. Huh?
What stereotype is this?
Just like
girls
what you
dating?
See on TV and like Sex in the City and
no,
you
there's
know,
definitely
just
girls that do that. I know them.
Really? They go out with a different guy every night and get a meal and, you know.
Yes. When I was in grad school, I remember talking to this girl. Her name was Sierra. That's her real name. Really using it. We're Facebook friends. If you want to look her up, she's married now. But she told me that she didn't have to pay for any meals, and she was booking guys, multiple guys in a day.
Wow, get lunch and dinner?
Like breakfast, lunch. I think she told me one time she got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I was like, do you feel bad? Like, she's like, no, they want to take me out. I'm like, all right.
They're courting her. I mean, it's
whatever,
dude. I see the moral dilemma there as far like, if she's not interested in these guys, is she taking advantage? But also, if there's an agreement that the guy's saying, look, I'm going to court this girl, I'm going to take her to lunch, and she's going to be charmed by me, mm-hmm. and then maybe I will, you know, date her or something like that. So even if she's not interested at that time, maybe she would be by the end of the meal.
Could be, yeah, exactly. And she was just kind of booking all these guys. And I think that if she found one that she actually wanted to go on multiple dates with, she would just cancel on the rest of them. But she was like, she booked these guys. And I think this was just when she got out of a long-term relationship. So she was on the prowl hard. I know lots of women that do that. And listen, if no one is coercing these guys to pay, it seems kind of like trash ass, but whatever. Like, if guys want to do it and you're just taking advantage of what they want to do, then so be it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she's giving them, I think it sounds like, I mean, I'm split 50-50 on this, because I feel like she is taking advantage of these dudes.
Again, but they want to be taken advantage of.
Well, they don't want to be taken advantage of, but they want a shot to bang her.
Yeah, they're getting
at the very least, they're getting a chance to charm her.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe, you know, potentially make her their wife at some point down the line or something. And that's what dating is, I guess. Because I don't know, like, I always get uncomfortable when, like, with my thing is if I invite a lady out, then I want to pay for it. Because sometimes now it's expected that you split the meal or something like that, which I'm totally okay with.
I wouldn't say that's a good idea for the first date.
Definitely not for
the first date. It's a really, really bad idea. And even if a girl...
If I invite you out, you know, I'm inviting you out. I'm taking you out.
I would say even if it was, like, her idea, I can't even imagine a girl saying, well, you go out with me, like, date number one. Usually, guys like to pursue and women like to be pursued. So, but first date, it's just, again, it has nothing, and I've said this so many times on this show, it's not about that men should pay. We're both two human adults. Obviously, it's not about should guys pay. That's just what guys should do. It's completely a strategy. If your goal is to court this woman and possibly get her into bed with you, if you took a shower and you got ready and you put on your best shirt and your nice shoes, why not just seal the deal? She's not going to be turned on by splitting the bill with you. She's just not. It just,
you know, I think a lot of women kind of not insist on it, but definitely suggest it. Now, I don't know if it's one of those things
what?
Where they're trying
to. Suggest what? That they split?
Yeah. That,
oh,
you know,
it's the gesture.
Oh,
she doesn't
split.
Mean it.
That, and that's what I assume, too. But I think there's pressure for women to, from other women, to make sure you pay your fair share so they don't expect anything, you know, of being equal.
No,
and equal participants.
I don't think so. I think for me, I always, and I know some women don't even offer to pay, I always offer, like, Can I contribute to this? I'll even just say it like that. And most of the time they say no. Mm-hmm. I can't even recall a time where someone asked me to split the bill on the first date. If that happened, I'm being very honest, I would be very unattracted to that. Because you're going out with a guy, you know, women like guys that have resources and guys that are just generous, especially with them. I want to be generous with you. I have money. I want to pay for something. I want to take you out, you know, make you feel like a lady, whatever it may be. Has nothing to do with guys, they should pay. There's some moral obligation to pay. I'm telling you, it's just a strategy. And if you're not taking advantage of the strategy, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go through all that? You spent the evening together. You blocked it out. You got dressed up. You took time to go there. Why not just seal the deal and pay for it? Because otherwise, all of that is like, if that happened to me, I'd be like, we had such a good time. And
You
made me feel like a friend. Like, you made me feel like a friend.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's like you didn't want to be generous with me. And you typically after that, even like the second date, third date, I mean, I'll start contributing to stuff. Definitely. Especially like if there's little stuff. I'll pay for this. You pay for that.
I always appreciate, you know, if it's a ball game or, you know, if we're at a bar or something, that if I insist on getting, you know, I got this round. And then they go, okay, I'll get next round.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Fair enough. You know, especially if I bought tickets to the game or something that are expensive. But I definitely don't expect it either. You know, but I would be, I probably drink faster too than most of my dates. So I usually try to, you know what the strategy is? You drink a little more.
Uh-huh.
You drink a little faster.
Right.
So that way, do you want another drink? No, I'm cool. Okay, good. I'm going to go get one. I'll be right back.
Nice. You
have
there
to
you
buy,
go.
Buy
there
two
you go.
Drinks at a time.
I gotcha.
I got this figured out.
727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I always love to hear what people have to say on the matter because we're at an interesting time where it's like women still want men to be men and still kind of appreciate those traditional roles a lot of times when it favors them. But then in sort of other areas of life, it's like, no, equal. I don't want to pay. But I hear a lot of women, even now in this day and age where it's like, you know, men and women are very equal, I think. I hear a lot of women saying, well, guys should pay. It's just what guys should do. It's like, well, then should girls just give up sex? Is that what they should just give up sex if
Nothing's
you buy
free.
Dinner?
No such thing as a free lunch.
Nope.
That's what they say.
Definitely not. So I just like to tell people that it's just a strategy. Like, it has nothing to do with what guys should or shouldn't do. It's just like, if this is your goal to bang this chick or to at least go in that direction, paying for the first meal is definitely going to help. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole lot. It's not just paying for the meal, too, that's going to do it. You have to be charming and
you have to
have a connection and all that. Sure. Like,
of course.
Obviously,
of course.
We don't expect, you know, but just because we bought you dinner.
I'm just saying, if you have a good night otherwise, like everything is going great, conversation is good, you enjoy each other, you're laughing, you're talking. If you don't end it with you, the man, paying, especially for the first date, it leaves a bitter taste in their mouth. Not in a good way, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Guys, pay for the first date.
Yeah, it's just to benefit yourself.
And then you find little ways to hustle your out of buying drinks later, which is you just drink a little faster, so then you can just buy your own.
Yeah. Ladies like
scam.
It. I'm telling you.
All right, there we go. Yes, good tip, fellas. If you're broke or cheap and you don't want to pay for the girls' drinks, when you take them out, you get the first one, you drink a little faster, and then you're kind of in the clear because you'll go, you know, you're done. I'm finished. I'm going to go get another drink. Do you want one? And she'll go, oh, no, I got almost a full beer here. Oh, okay. I'll go get mine. I'll see you. I'll be right back. Good hustle there. 813-693-2124 is the number here. I had so many local stories I wanted to get to, but it just didn't happen. I ran out of time. Well, and I love when that happens. But what do we have here? I had a story about Florida ranking. Florida ranks as the most dangerous state for senior citizens. Probably because old people live here, though. That's nothing. No big deal. There's a story about how volunteers are, volunteering at national parks while the government shut down. I know Jess Mears, the libertarian. What's her job? Libertarian spokesman or something? She's with the National Libertarian Party. She just moved away, but she used to live here. She organized something where they cleaned up the national parks and got a bunch of press for that. And that's awesome. That's cool. And then some Bucks tight end retired, and USF got a new offensive coordinator. But I didn't have time to get to it this week, so I guess you're in luck. So I appreciate you tuning in, though. I'm going to go ahead and just wrap it up there then. So if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, well, I certainly appreciate that. Please make sure that you rate and subscribe at HMB Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay. Give it a 5-star rating. Tell a friend. That's even more. That's even bigger of a task. And I thank you for doing it because it really helps me out. It only takes a second. Like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio, like Radio St. Pete. While you're there too, Radio just St. Pete, you'll find it, RadioSt.Pete.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm very active on there, unfortunately. So, you know, I'll talk to whoever and send you pictures and stuff. It's fun. Home_made_man is my screen name on both of those things, so make sure you get at me over there. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you later. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.